This is former TNA Knockout, Awesome Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Schultz. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows that I am the most powerful force both the ring, nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, we just walked down Victory Road, and I think we had a pleasant journey, but that is to be discussed here in a minute. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way. And with us tonight, we have the Australian one, Mace.
Yes, I said some things tonight that I thought I'd never say in my lifetime, but I'll tell you what they are later.
The Drunken Will.
I'm not dead.
That's good to know. One of weird names, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And, of course, the star player of the show, Mr. Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. This is right. It's the TNA edition, the post-pay-per-view edition, the Victory Road edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Tim Stein. You heard from the gaggle, I guess you could call him, introduced by the one and the only Omicron Seti 5. Oh, wait a second. It's not much, is it?
I'm a star base now. What the hell was that?
Omicron Seti 5. Yeah, I don't know. It just came to me, dude. You know what I'm saying? I hope so.
Because I'm watching Star Trek again.
Not actually. Yeah, they were doing a Star Trek marathon this entire weekend on Space Channel here in Canada. I've seen every single fucking movie. I've seen every single gosh darn movie three times now, so far and counting.
Wow. You have commitment, sir.
All I can say is, oops. Yeah, I know, you guys. I said none of that, and I go ahead and just blow it totally straight out of the water. That was a Freudian slip.
We can always count on you.
My apologies. I didn't mean for it to happen, but, you know, it's once in a blue moon. It slips out, and if you're offended by my slip of the tongue, I apologize profusely. I'm sorry, Omega.
My sensitive ears will recover.
I would hope so. In due time, I suppose. Right?
It'll take a while, but it'll get there.
That's an important thing. So we've spent the entire week, this past week, leading up to the TNA Victory Road pay-per-view. And I tell you, I spent a very productive week waiting for tonight's pay-per-view. I've been reading everything I can about what we can, we've been able to expect for tonight. And I tell you, tonight did not disappoint as far as TNA pay-per-view offerings.
and presentations go. I think it was a good show tonight, guys.
Yeah, it was definitely a very good show. I was saying in the backstage chat all through the night that it's been a great show, you know, solid wrestling all the way through. I do have a couple of little problems with it, which we'll get to during our discussion, but overall it was definitely a good show.
Well, absolutely. You know, nothing can be perfect. That's the only thing, right? There's no such thing as perfection. And you know what they say, stuff happens. You shoot for the moon, you're going to fall a little short, but at least you're going to get pretty darn close. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think tonight, TNA's Victory Road pay-per-view got extremely close. That's just my opinion. Everybody's got one of their own, and they're entitled to it. Everybody, just a reminder, if you don't know by now, we do have a phone line you can call in. If you got Skype and you're international outside of the continental United States or Canada, then get on Skype and Skype Sir Rockin'. If you want to call, use the telephone. You got to call a phone number that's unfortunately not a toll-free number. But even though long-distance charges may apply, it'll only be a couple of pennies. You also might have one of those calling plans. If you got a calling plan, then this is fine. This falls under that purview for you. Area code 267-297-1397. We would love to hear from our listeners tonight, their thoughts and opinions on what they saw. Again, overall, pretty much a fairly solid card. Taking a look at the matchups tonight, started off with the TNA X Division Championship, the Ultimate X. Doug Williams takes on Brian Kendrick, and we had Brother Ray versus Jesse Neal versus Brother Devon tonight. The TNA Knockouts Championship was on the line. Madison Rayne versus Angelina Love. Rob Terry and Samoa Joe, a bit of a surprise there, taking on AJ Styles and Kaz. And, of course, we had that steel cage match, Andes versus Matt Morgan. Jay Lethal against Ric Flair, and I'll tell you, you know, you close your eyes and listen to Jay Lethal doing Ric Flair, and you would swear you're listening to Ric Flair. It's just uncanny how good he is. And, of course, we had the TNA Tag Team Championship, the Motor City Machine Guns taking on the champions Beer Money, Kurt Angle versus the Pope, D'Angelo Darrow, and, of course, the main event tonight, I guess you could call this a fatal four-way, Rob Van Dam versus Abyss versus Jeff Hardy versus Ken Anderson. That was the main event tonight. Let's start off at the top, the Ultimate X division, the Ultimate X title. You won by grabbing the X or by submission. Doug Williams retaining via submission. Alan, what did you think of this match?
It was a hard one to call just because of the concept of you've got this Ultimate X match, which everybody has seen going into even a tag match with LAX versus Styles and Daniels a couple years ago. And then you go, okay, we're going to throw this little stipulation in to help out our champion who has pretty much been bashing the division of the belt he's been holding. And say, okay, let's also throw in, as we saw this past Thursday on Impact, Doug Williams is afraid of heights. Okay. So he can't climb up to go get it, so let's put him in a submission thing. It's an up in the air situation. I thought it was a very entertaining match. It wasn't the best Ultimate X match I've ever seen, but it wasn't the worst.
There you go. Mace, your thoughts and impressions.
Yeah, this was a very interesting match, as I mentioned during it. Douglas is not really a high flyer, and he's very ground-based. And when he was going up against high flyers such as Kaz a couple months back, he had a bit of trouble working that style. This, adding the submission rule in, seemed to really help put his character over and definitely sort of stop the high-flying nature of the Ultimate X match. Personally, I think that it actually suffered a little bit because they didn't use the X enough, but, again, what can you do? Yeah, very solid opener for the most part.
Will, did you have a chance to catch the opening match tonight?
No, I would have liked to have seen it, but I was going to say that the stipulation reminds me of Sabu versus Shamrock for the NWA Championship in a ladder submission match of years back.
Mm-hmm. Omega?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pay attention?
For the opening match, I did. Unfortunately, I was sidelined for most of this pay-per-view.
Well, that's too bad. You know, you go and you buy that pay-per-view, and then you miss most of it. But at least you caught the opening match.
You don't know when things come up.
There you go. Your thoughts and impressions?
Oh, no, I thought it was an interesting little twist on the Ultimate X match. I mean, Doug Williams, the whole theme of his character is he's against the typical X Division style. So the fact that he would go in and try to win by submission, which he did, I thought that played to his character great. I mean, it's certainly not going to be the Ultimate X that everyone, you know, remembers years from now as the most spectacular match of all time. But, you know, it played to the character. It worked well. I mean, it was an entertaining opening.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It did play the character. I think it was a good build-up for Doug Williams. And it was a bit of a different way for him to retain the title. You figure, okay, it's Ultimate X, and somebody's going to grab the title or grab the X, and there you go, they win. But he wins via submission. I think it'll be remembered for that, don't you, Mace?
Yes, yeah, I guess so.
Alan?
The ending spot was very surprising, that all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're up, wait, hold on, we're falling to the mat, and next thing you know, we're tapping out. It was very sudden. And that, I guess, maybe worked, or maybe it was anticlimactic, depending on whoever happened to be watching the pay-per-view. I thought it was anticlimactic to end it that way.
Well, potentially anticlimactic, but they might be able to actually continue building from that.
Sure. There's a lot of these matches tonight. Definitely, you're probably going to see a Hart Justice in rematches in some way.
Absolutely. You never know. So Doug Williams retains, keeps the title. Next match, we got Brother Ray versus Jesse Neal versus Brother Devon. And Mace, Alan, you guys are the resident TNA experts. Exactly what's going on here that led to this three-way?
Oh, God. You want to take this or you want me to take it?
You can take the recap. However, I want to say something when we get to the actual match part.
Okay, this has been going on for a couple months now. Everyone knows, or hopefully knows, that Jesse Neal was trained by Ray and Devin at their Team 3D Academy in Orlando, Florida. And I guess this is a way to separate the Jesse Neal character from the two of them, that they paired him with Shannon Moore and Inc. and guess one of the impacts, the Ray character, Brother Ray, Bubba Ray, whatever you want to legally call him, got a little hot under the collar, that Jesse Neal's ego's out of control, and that's how you got to this situation where you had a three-way dance, or I don't even remember what the stipulation on it was, but you had, I marvel at the carpentry skills of Team 3D, let's put it that way. So, Mace, give your opinion on this one, man. It was another interesting encounter.
You know, first thing I want to start out with that carpentry skills of Brother Ray. I don't know how many people actually picked this up when they saw the shot of the backstage with the board put across the door. For those of you who didn't catch it, those doors open inwards towards the room, so all Devon had to do was open the door and kick the board out of the way to get out of the room, yet they were treating it like he was nailed in completely.
I don't know, from Nitro.
Yeah, I don't know whether that was an oversight by somebody who thought the idea was going to work.
Bad carpentry.
Yeah, it was something that sort of made me stop and go, hold on, Where's the logic in that? But, eh. Again, this ended up being a pretty solid match. Yeah, it was a lot of brawling, not much wrestling, but that's what you expect from Brother Ray in particular in this one. And when Devon finally did come out to, well, do whatever it was he was going to do, we were all expecting the, okay, Team 3D are going to team up, turn on Jesse Neal and stomp him to death. But that didn't happen as Devon's turned around and started beating on Bubba. And I don't know, I turned my head for a second and then all of a sudden I see Bubba getting the three count. I missed what actually happened, but it seemed, and this is something that sort of gets to me throughout the night, a lot of these matches had these very sudden out of nowhere finishes.
Oh yeah.
Like there was build, and you're waiting for what's coming next and then all of a sudden they cut it. I don't know whether this might have been from time restraints. I don't know whether it was the way that they decided to work the match beforehand, but it just, yeah, so those sudden stops really got to me, and this was the first one to do it tonight.
My question, just thinking about the Dudley Boys, I know you're not supposed to call them the Dudley Boys, but you can't help but doing it. You see the old ECW crew coming through the crowd, and you immediately think back to the old ECW. And now we all know the rumors. It's no secret that the hot rumor for TNA is Paul Heyman going to come in or isn't he? And if the CCW faction comes together, you know, who knows what might wind up happening or come to pass. But stop and think back to those old ECW days. How many people are with me when they when I say, I miss the days when Spike would get launched into the crowd over the top rope and then just go crowd surfing.
Yes, well, thank you for stealing my line from earlier tonight, Tim.
Oh, you said that earlier? I did not.
Yeah, you typed it out earlier.
Yeah.
Tim stealing jokes. It happens.
But I never steal jokes. Hey, I know, you know, I'm like the guy on the commercial from the 90s. I know a good joke when I steal one. I mean, when I hear one.
Is anybody getting tired of these guys walking out and just standing there and taking away from the entire match as opposed to somebody doing something? I mean, they walk out, they sit with the fans who, one of the Impact shows or something, Tommy Dreamer is sitting there taking pictures with fans and everything. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be watching the match there, Tom?
Well,
and there's
got to
be a payoff coming somewhere, isn't there, dude?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they are waiting, and they're waiting to get Heyman on board to and make an actual appearance on camera before they do anything with them. So right now, they literally don't have any idea what to do with them, and you can tell, because they're coming out during random matches and just, like, walking around and sitting around and taking the attention away from the match going on.
Well, they came out during Samoa Joe and RVD on Impact the other night, and I was like, all right, cool, this is they're setting up something where they're going to get everybody together. And but, dude, let's say for a second here, you mentioned they're waiting for Heyman. Does anybody in this room, on this show, or in the chat room, which is through the Wild Talk Radio Network's website, what if Paul Heyman's sitting there and going, you know, that Dana White deal's not coming, the heck with this, I'm out of here. What's plan B for these guys? Or do you just totally drop it on the floor and go, oops, we dropped the cake. Okay, moving on. Over here you have.
Well,
what's plan B?
I actually thought of this this morning, just before the pay-per-view. An interesting, probably more obscure way to continue this, if the Paul Heyman deal falls through, is to bring back Mick Foley as the head of it, because technically, he still has some storyline controlling interest in TNA.
That's right.
And he would make an interesting backer for these guys. And supposedly, he is meant to be coming back during the summer.
Yeah, his contract's really weird. He's got a certain amount of appearances he can make during the year, and he's almost up with his allotment. So, I'm sorry, Mace.
Yeah, but, you know, I figured Foley, you know, it would be a great plan B for these guys because he does have those ECW roots. And then you bring, you know, Taz in as well, and then you can get all those guys because you can play off the ECW nostalgia factor that way.
Yeah, you know, whether or not the rumor proves true or false, you know, Paul Heyman yes, Paul Heyman no, you can still wind up with an, even though you can't call it that, you can still wind up with an ECW faction and have all the ECW alumni form their own stable. Why not?
What exactly does WWE own? Do they own Extreme Championship Wrestling? Do they actually own the copyright to the word Extreme? Because, I mean, you had Sports Entertainment Extreme or whatever the Russo faction was a few years ago. I mean, can a company actually copyright a specific word in the English language? I mean, wouldn't ESPN have a battle with them over the X Games or Extreme Games?
It's a little bit of a gray area when it comes to trademark copyrights. It really depends on what they have and what they and how seriously they want to take it. They can't copyright things like but it's extremely difficult to copyright just individual words like extreme. Jerry Lawler right now has a beef with Memphis Wrestling.
Oh yeah.
You know, someone else trying to use that trademark that he still owns, and you know, it's not. To my knowledge, it's not the exact, but it is close enough. You know, whereas you can play with the word extreme, you can use it in a different way if you're going to brand these guys in TNA. It just, most likely, it can't conform to ECW or Extreme Championship Wrestling, you know, those combinations of words. They'd have to create some kind of variation.
Well, they can call them Team Extreme, can't they? They can't call it the ECW faction. You know, they cannot reference ECW specifically.
Well, then Shane Douglas
says ECW.
Whoa, time. Let's go to Alan first.
Well, didn't the Hardcore Homecoming group run into this issue a few years ago to Shane Douglas and rumored financial backers who I don't want to go into because somebody may be listening about it. Didn't they run into that issue when they did their Hardcore Homecoming opposite the original ECW One Night Stand? They couldn't refer to anyone on their DVDs as former ECW or this and that. I mean, I'm not a legal person, so I'm not 100% sure. And Sorokin's the one I know that's got, our producer's got, you know, the copyright law books and programs sitting there. So, I mean, How do you word this? You're the one with the booking background in some form or fashion, Tim. Book this situation for us. How do you word these guys once you actually figure out what the heck you're going to do with them?
Well, I was thinking Team Extreme.
That wouldn't work.
But, you know.
Yeah, the Hardys got a problem with that.
Yeah, well, WWE Hardys have a problem with it.
So, but there's, you know, right off the top of my head, I can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure that something can be utilized with the word extreme. Mate, had a point?
Oh, you wouldn't even have to use the word extreme. You take a look back when Hall and Nash went over to WCW, they were just calling those guys the Invaders on Nitro, and that it was the people around them that were putting the whole WWE part to these two guys. Yeah. So you don't have to call them anything extreme. You don't have to even reference it. People are going to chant ECW no matter what happens with these guys. So you just let it roll and play out and think about this type of thing down the line. What they've got to do at the moment is get the payoff starting to happen sometime soon before the fans lose interest.
Well, call them Team Hardcore or something like that, because we all know Extreme Championship Wrestling was known for hardcore wrestling. It wasn't all hardcore, but it was you have Tommy Dreamer, you got Mick Foley returning later on this summer, who could potentially head up the faction.
That's what made me think, because Mick Foley's referring to their coming, and he's a former Foley disciple, so who knows? I mean, he hasn't really... That's the other thing. Since they've shown up in the crowd, you haven't seen Abyss do the whole, they're coming. He hasn't actually even turned and said, look, they're here, they're here. He hasn't done any of that. So are
these
I don't
the
know
same
what
they who kidnapped Samoa Joe and threw him in the back of a van?
You never know.
It's the same they that Sting is referring to as well, I believe.
That's right. They is a very large faction.
Men in Black. They're coming to get you because TNA found out about the aliens at Area 51.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. I mean, could you? It's always fun to hear that phrase. They do this. They do that. I wonder, I mean, can WWE or somebody actually copyright the word they? how ridiculous it could possibly get in this whole battle. I mean, they were going to copyright the network to refer to that other, the Nexus faction, and then they found out that a wrestler named Michael Stanko owned the group, so. And let's move on to the other matches on this show. You had a title change on a DQ. You've got Madison Rayne, who was, I guess, taking over the career killer gimmick, and I'm not referring to the guy from Tough Enough who was breaking people like crazy. I'm talking about Madison Rayne, who took out Tara, who may be back, may not be back soon, took out Nikki Rocks, but couldn't take out Angelina Love. Losing the belt by DQ, guys. Take it around the room to Mace first. What was your overall thoughts on this match? Was this Madison Rayne's best match of her title reign? Was it her worst? Was it in the middle? What do you think?
Well, I definitely put this in the middle as terms of the matches, not only for Madison Rayne, but of the night. This sort of being sort of a low point for me, but at the same time, it wasn't a horrible match. It's one thing that TNA kept constant tonight. They had good, solid matches all night. Again, it was the finish that I start wondering, especially when we have this unknown woman coming in black leather biker gear. We don't know who she is. She comes in, interferes, and that causes the title to change hands. I know a lot of people are turning around and saying that it's Tara making her return. I'm sort of going outside of that theory and actually saying that it's this new girl that was trying out for TNA not too long ago, who goes by the name of Mia Yim on the indie circuit, only because, being male, of course, where would I be looking? The only open part that is open on that outfit of hers is around the chest area, and I happen to notice the skin color, and she is surprisingly close to what Mia Yim's skin color is like. And if anybody who's watched Tara knows that she is very pale. Not Sheamus style of pale, but...
Or Daphne pale.
Yeah, but that's part of Daphne's gimmick. She's zombie hot. God damn it, she is. But yeah, it was a very, very solid match. Very interesting to see the stipulation of the disqualification being used and utilized properly. A lot of times when that stipulation comes in, they don't use it properly. This time they did. And it was a very solid match.
What did everybody else think? Omega, I know you said you were kind of in and out of the room at that point. I mean, if you didn't see the match, just overall, you and then Will, what have you guys thought over all of this teasing of the beautiful people imploding again? It almost seemed like they were setting it up that Velvet Sky was going to come out and take out Madison Rayne, and then you'd have a reformation of the beautiful people, or someone to set up the beautiful people versus the beautiful people. What do you think of this whole situation?
I don't know. I've seen the beautiful people so many times in TNA, and right now it's the majority of their women's division. So I'd like to see a breakup just so people could actually wrestle again. You know, and really I'd be glad if they went to square one with all these wrestlers again, because they've got so little going for them in this group at this point. I mean, right now we've got Madison Rayne ripping off Randy Orton's gimmick. You know, that's starting to wear thin on me. I'd like to see a fresh start here. I mean, if Hogan and Bischoff, if they seriously want to go, okay, we only care about the beautiful people. Well, let's break them up so you can actually do something to them.
Well, you also had, I think it was on Impact a week or two ago, you had Sarita attacking her former partner. Daphne's kind of hanging out in the area there. And what are you thinking, Will? Because I know you said you had a prior engagement, so you didn't get to see the match. And we'll talk about where Will has been tonight. It's an interesting location. What are your overall thoughts on the women's division here in TNA Wrestling? Are you fine with Angelina, the belt basically being passed around? Beautiful person, a beautiful person, a beautiful person? Or is it time to get a fresh face in there, be it Sarita, be it Daphne, be it Rosie Lottolove? What are your thoughts?
Well, the rumor up until her departure was that Tara was going to be the one they were going to build the division around. And, well, we saw what happened with that. I don't mind that they've got Angelina feuding with the beautiful people, because they aimed for it, and then it got sidetracked, and they're just now finally getting back to it. My problem is the just out of nowhere breaking up of, like you said, Sarita and Taylor Wilde. It was out of nowhere, and when you've got two belts called the Knockouts Tag Team Championships, you need as many knockout teams as you can have, and there wasn't any build to just break this team up, and now they're teasing the breakup of the champions themselves. I'd say they need to reevaluate that.
All right. Okay, I think we need a little bit of a break before we continue on with this pay-per-view. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to WTR's coverage of the Victory Road pay-per-view. We will be back right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer, as well news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr.
Christian Cage.
Jerry.
Anderson Stout.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hook me up a new evolution. This one is a lie.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I think our Canadian friend's having a little bit of microphone trouble.
That's never a good thing.
No, it is not. There you go. We got you.
All right. I don't know what's going on. We had a massive storm roll through this part of the world. Calgary, dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada. You know, the home of the Calgary Stampede.
Oh, those guys.
Nah, I didn't say Stampede Wrestling. I could have. I said the Calgary Stampede. I said Calgary Stampede because right now, going on in the little town of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is the Calgary Exhibition in Stampede, and we get, I should have known that we'd get thunderstorms and rain and lightning and the whole, you know, electrical twist in the atmosphere because the rodeo is in town.
So all the cattle bring the thunder. Nice.
Yeah, well, it's... Like, yeah, all the cattle bring the thunder. That's, I wasn't going for a really weak joke, Alan, but thanks for punctuating it. But, yeah, they do the voodoo dancing, only it's not the voodoo dancing. They actually do rain dance demonstrations. The Soutina, the people who live on the Soutina Reserve are heavily involved in the exhibition of Stampede, and every night they do their dances on the stage in the grandstand for all the tourists. And one of them, I swear to God, one of them is a rain dance. It's got to be, because in 10 days, we get 20 days worth of rain. And it happens all the time. I suppose it could be worse, and we'd have a major sudden snowstorm, in which case we could actually get the Calgary Flames out of their summer vacation and strap on the skates. I don't know. I really reached on that one because of what Maverick said in the WTR chat room. No Calgary Flames references. Hey, at least they're not the San Jose Sharks. Back to tonight's TNA. Pay-per-view! So, really, really quick recap to this point. Doug Williams retaining, Brother Ray winning over Jesse Neal and Brother Devon. The TNA Knockouts Championship winner and new Knockouts Champion, Angelina Love, as a result of outside interference by an unknown woman in a biker helmet. We're not going to speculate on who that might be. No, not at all. Then, of course, we have...
They already did.
Thank you very much. So, whereabouts did we get to before I cut out?
We are the match of AJ Styles and Kazarian going up against a previously unknown tag team, which turned out to be the TNA Global Champion, Rob Terry, and Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe's gonna kill you. So, was it a big surprise that Joe came out?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Was it a welcome surprise, Alan?
Absolutely, because I remember joking around with some of the guys earlier in the day. Isn't this a little weird that you don't have Samoa Joe on your pay-per-view? Your global champion's not on your pay-per-view. There's other names that I could go into that aren't on this pay-per-view, and sure enough, here come walking two of them right out the curtain. He said he would be at the pay-per-view, but he didn't say he would be in a match rocking. That's the thing. I mean, I understand on TNA today he said that, but he wasn't probably going to come right out and go, yeah, I'm coming to take out AJ and Kaz so they can't get their fortune spots. This is all over. This is all over the Fortune faction that amazingly nobody can get into. Except Ric Flair.
It's a Ric Flair club. Do you know how exclusive those are?
You know, I want to talk about the Ric Flair club for just a quick second. You know, he can't call it the Four Horsemen thanks to, you know, the guys in Connecticut owning the all of the tape library and the copyright and the patent and the trademark and the whatever. Right, those guys in Connecticut, they own that. Why could they not have called give them a stable and call them the Apocalypse?
Because there may be an apocalyptic group out there that owns the copyright to Apocalypse. Who knows? The Punch.
Yeah, you've
Irish
got
Notre Dame could come at and go, nope, we've owned the Apocalypse thing going back to the original group in the 1920s.
Yeah. Well, Marvel Comics has the rights to Apocalypse, so there you go, your action figures.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to put out a set of action figures in one box and say, hey, here's TNA's Apocalypse, right?
You might, actually.
Never know.
It was just, maybe that's the thing. Maybe somebody owns the trademark, the Apocalypse, and they can't do it, which, in my opinion, would suck. But I just thought that, you know, calling a faction headed by Ric Flair the Apocalypse would be, a fantastic take on the Four Horsemen. Don't you guys agree?
It would, but they went with Fortune. We can't change what's already in motion.
I know, it's a little grim, I think. I mean, I prefer Fortune because it still has the style of Ric Flair. I mean, when you call it that, I mean, it's weird because I wish it had a little more flair, ironically. But it works for me so far.
Yeah, but you do see where I'm going with the Apocalypse, don't you, Mace?
Yes, we do, Tim. Now stop trying to bury that damn thing so we can actually talk about the match.
Just trying to make sure that people like
it
Tony
Owen. It ain't spelling.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people like Tony Owen Maverick understood that, you know, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, bada bing, bada boom, there you go. And yes, Tony O, there was a Stampede wrestler in Stampede Wrestling called Apocalypse, and he's now wrestling up in PWA, which does shows in Calgary and Edmonton, and his name is still Apocalypse. And the last time I checked, he was actually one of the main eventers in contention for the PWA heavyweight title. So, anyway, that being said, so the winners, AJ Styles and Kaz. How many... Were you surprised by this?
Absolutely. I was very surprised. I don't know what Mace is about. I was very surprised to see that whole situation even go down the way they did. And obviously because Flair was getting ready for his match with Jay Lethal, which we'll tease in a few minutes here, he wasn't out there. And obviously the other person trying to get Flair's attention, being Desmond Wolfe, was out there to help swerve the decision. It was really interesting to see. Very good match between the four of them, though, for something that, you know, was supposedly just thrown together on TV. I really liked it. I don't know what you think, Mace.
Yeah, again, very, very solid match. I was expecting the team of Styles and Kazarian to sort of implode by the end of it, but they worked extremely well together, and you know, credit to both of them for putting on a great match. However, I was more surprised with the teaming of Rob Terry and Samoa Joe. It was two guys that you would never think would team up, but they work really well as a tag team. You know, a couple of big bruisers that can beat the snot out of anybody, and that's exactly what they did. However, I will say this, poor Desmond Wolfe. That was a very, very sick muscle buster he took from Joe. Normally you see Joe sets it up, takes a few moments to let the person get settled, but tonight he just picked him up, ran, and boom, dropped him like a 10-ton sack of potatoes. Poor Desmond. poor Desmond.
Yeah, give the guy credit. He took the hardest bump of the match. No, I thought it worked. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I thought it worked surprisingly well. I mean, normally get these two, you know, these two big brutal bruisers into a tag team, and it just doesn't work. But the two are so athletic, and they do what they do very well. So as a team, I was surprised to actually enjoy the outing.
Yeah, they did work quite well together. It was a very entertaining match. Sudden startledness and surprisingness happening with AJ Styles and Kaz winning. I didn't expect that to happen. But I can't say as I'm too disappointed. But who did we have come in after the match?
After the match?
Didn't we see Desmond Wolfe here?
Oh, he popped up about halfway through.
And then got left by Samoa Joe at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now we got a caller calling on the line. Hey, welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Who's this and where are you calling from? Caller, are you there?
No.
We'll just forget about that. Somebody called in, but they, I guess, got really shy and didn't want to talk. Oh, well. Next match on the card, Steel Cage Hernandez versus Matt Morgan, former tag team champions, former tag team partners, going up against each other. All in all, not a shameful match at all. It had some fairly entertaining moments. We got a caller on the air again. Okay, so caller, are you there this time?
No, you're already on.
Yeah, you don't have to push any buttons. Just start talking. Are you there?
No extension needed here. This isn't the 888 number.
Yeah, you're just
coming
calling.
Soon.
Yeah, people, you just call. You call in directly. You're immediately connected. No, no voice menu or anything like that. Just when we say hi, who's this? Tell us who you are. That's all. Anyway,
like any other radio station.
Well, they might try again, as a matter of fact. Bingo. All right, caller, who is this, and where are you calling from?
Yes.
To speak with a real person, please press 2.
Does anyone know Morse code?
Yeah.
It's Matt Morgan calling.
Hang up, Rox. This is just somebody calling to be a, you know, smarty pants.
They're trying to play Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Could be. They've been watching Yo Gabba Gabba or something.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Well, you know, some people have nothing better to do. So.
Yeah, we'd like to thank R2-D2 for calling in tonight.
Yeah. Hey, Star Wars was on TV a little bit earlier, coincidentally enough, not on Spike.
For once, really? Wow.
Yeah, it was on a Canadian TV station that I watched it on. So.
Interesting. It wasn't on the Space Channel. It was on something else.
No, it was on Space Channel here. And you know, being Canadian, I can watch all the Canadian TV channels, including Space.
Is there a water and air channel also, or just Space?
Just Space. It's like the American Sci-Fi, if they spell it correctly.
Oh. Can't do that. Got to be hip with the lingo and the kids.
Got to be hip with the kids. I don't know. That don't work too good. You know what I'm saying to you?
Exactly. Well, what didn't work out was Matt Morgan. I mean, here's a guy that actually was like inches from walking out of the cage, and I typed it in our private chat. I'm going, he's walking. He's what the heck is he doing? It's like you beat him enough, he's bleeding, he probably thinks he is back in Mexico where he was for a little while. It's just like, what are you doing?
Didn't quite work for Morgan, yeah.
And Hernandez definitely proved that Rey Mysterio is not the only lawn dart in pro wrestling history. We witnessed that steel cage getting lawn darted.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the difference is Rey Mysterio didn't throw himself now, did he?
Nah, a couple outsider guys that we can't talk to who also weren't on this pay-per-view didn't have happen.
There you go. Hernandez launching himself through the cage door to win the steel cage match. And, I thought, you know, I enjoyed the end of the, I enjoyed the ending to the match. Eventually I'll get this out. Yeah.
It was a very out there ending.
Yeah.
Like, who would have expected this, to actually happen? Hernandez going, you know what? I'm not going to bother going over the cage. I'm going to go through it and dive!
Well, the guy committed suicide once before in the match already, so why not again?
Yeah, that cage jump was... What the heck? Elix Skipper's not in the building. Don't be using his stuff, man.
Well, he didn't try to walk the cage or anything. He just jumped. But credit to him, as big as he is, I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Well, this is the same guy who was in an Ultimate X match for the World Tag Titles and was going up there. I was like, yeah, whoa, yes. Hang on to them cables, boys.
Yeah, but but that's a 15-foot steel cage. I mean, my bones are very important to me. I would not risk them on that kind of a dive.
Y'all make me wish I wouldn't have been preoccupied to see that. I love a good going through a cage moment.
Wow. So, so Hernandez winning this match and, moving on to the next one. We had Jay Lethal versus Ric Flair. Alan, go ahead. Talk about it.
Oh my God. The build up to this thing was great. We've referred to it all over the place with the Ric Flair off to steal the Zoolander reference. It was just hysterical to see the mirror image of the two, and what a way to end the match to have him beat the legendary Nature Boy with his own finishing move just totally tears it up. And I hope I look as good and have the cardiovascular of Ric Flair when I'm his age. I don't know what everybody else thought about it.
What do you think, Mace?
This one I was quite surprised. I did mention early in the match that if Flair was dictating the pace that Jay Lethal would need to go out and buy a Zimmer frame, but that didn't happen. They actually put on a really solid wrestling match. Again, TNA showing tonight that they put on solid wrestling on their pay-per-views. Very interesting to see Lethal winning via the figure four leg lock submission of all things. I would never have... Well, it seems fitting to put Jay over with that type of credibility. I do think the getting on the microphone and going, "Mom, I did it," was probably a bit too overboard, but it works. Again, solid match. Actually enjoying everything tonight so far.
Yeah, well, you know me. I've always maintained there's absolutely nothing wrong with the talent TNA has. The guys put their heart and soul into everything they do all the time. They're very entertaining when they get going in the ring. And as far as entertaining goes, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. It's very entertaining to hear Jay Lethal do his imitations. He is so spot on with what he does. It's eerie, Omega.
Well, it's eerie, yeah, but you know, I'm glad to see him moving away from it too, because I really wanted to see what Jay Lethal was all about, not Macho Man Jay Lethal or Ric Flair Jay Lethal. It's a hilarious bit, but I'm glad to see him coming out of his shell from that now.
Well, let me ask you this: how much of a rub has Jay Lethal been getting thanks to Ric Flair?
Been monster. I mean, anytime. Well, tonight alone. I mean, to have, to beat Ric Flair with his own move, which very rarely happens these days, especially to someone with the legacy and history of Ric Flair. mean, I honestly didn't call that ending, and, you know, that's hard for me to say these days, so I was glad to see that.
Yeah, well, Mace, as somebody who works in the ring, what is the significance of putting Jay Lethal in the ring with a legend like Ric Flair and having Jay Lethal go over with Ric Flair's own move, own finisher?
Well, it's definitely showing that TNA has a lot of faith in Jay Lethal and what he can do. They've finally taken the handcuffs off him and said, you know, go out there, Jay, wrestle. When you wrestle, be yourself. But, you know, when you get on the mic, do your impressions, because that's what's making the crowd happy. This could be the start of big, big things for Jay Lethal. The only thing I hope he doesn't do is shave half his head bald and start going, brother, 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 brother.
Oh, yeah, we've got enough people imitating the Hulkster. We don't need Jay Lethal doing it, do we?
Oh, no.
I want to see him imitate
Shawn Michaels. He's doing it quite well. Bald head and
yeah,
all.
There you go. I want to see Jay Lethal pull off an imitation of Eric Bischoff.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking, how much bleach would he need for his hair?
Well, none if he could just get it shaved again.
Yeah. Just go to the novelty shop where they sell Halloween supplies and costumes and get that spray paint that turns your hair temporarily gray, you know?
Or you could pick up the a hair piece that's made out of sparkly silver bits.
Oh, there you
go. Go right over the top.
I was just going to say, and then give yourself a buzz cut right afterwards. But,
if that's the way to do it, Jay will do it. He'll work out a way. We have faith in you, Jay Lethal.
There you go. Jay Lethal, victorious over Ric Flair. With that being said, we've got three more matches to break down. We're going to do that on the other side of this quick little thing. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The rest of the TNA pay-per-view coming up right on the other side of this break. Don't you go anywhere.
Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Oh, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Wojnarowski.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time. Remember, we're on Eastern Time. Till basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
Do you have a certain passion?
Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling and the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, Tough Enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Come back, as we let music slowly fade down into the background. Yeah, hey everybody, I'm your host Tim Stein. That's right, the sexy daddy of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go there. Do not go there. At this point in time, I'd like to say hello to a very specific individual tuned in. She calls herself a French Canadian because, well, she speaks French and she happens to be Canadian. And a special hi goes out to her tonight. And so, yes, I know you could go there, Rock. Never mind all this production chat we're talking about. Anyway, back to the final three matches of TNA's Victory Road. Up next, TNA Tag Team Championship, the Motor City Machine Guns versus Beer
Money.
I was waiting for it. Beer Money. Beer Money, the Tag Team Champs. Now, the winners with a double pinfall. The match got restarted. What the hell? Mace, what was all that about?
It seems that there was a slight kerfuffle involving two referees and a double pinfall, which, well, personally I believe it built to the eventual win of the Motor City Machine Guns becoming your new TNA Tag Team Champions. However, that just seemed awkward and confusing to other people. Again, this is a great match, great tag team match between two very solid tag teams in TNA. And, you know, I'll give Motor Machine Guns this. They come up with some mega creative tag team moves that I don't think many people would ever think of, and they work so well.
Extremely well, yeah. Alan, what'd you think about the match restart?
Overall, the match I thought was phenomenal. It set up a Hard Justice rematch because Beer Money can automatically go, hey, wait a minute, we had the pin, and hey, it wasn't twin Hebners, but it was close enough having dad and son there. And very disappointed again, no cooler scooter brought out by the Tennessee Cowboy, but I guess it's a title match, so we had to be serious, and I want to see more of these guys, whether it be on Impact, Explosion,
next pay-per-view, I want to see another match with these guys, at least two or three.
There you go. Omega, did you have a chance to catch this at all?
Yeah, I caught some of this one. Yeah, I mean, the teams have been around so long in TNA, I was thrilled to see them put on a match, you know, that was that good. I mean, TNA does do tag team matches fairly well. Not sure, but I don't know, the double ending was kind of confusing. I understand why they do it, you know, because Beer Money was the ones that were declared winner. Their music play, and you're like, oh, the Machine Guns missed again. Like, oh, wait, we're going to restart. You know, it's the classic storytelling, okay, bring them down and then triumphantly rise again. And also, I think it helps in any eventual rematch you're going to have, because Beer Money came that close to retaining their titles. And now they are going to be gunning to get them back. I'm looking forward to a follow-up to this one.
Well, there you go. My one question about this, okay, I can understand the double count with a double pinfall and all of that stuff. Did they rush through that a little bit too much, do you think, with Earl and his son having a little bit of back and forth there? Like, oh, he won, no, oh, he won, no, he got pinned, no, he got pinned. Well, let's restart it then.
I don't think so.
So you thought the pacing was okay with that? I think they could have taken it. I think they could have taken an extra 2 minutes. What do you think, Mace?
I think it was done pretty well. It worked for me, you know. Did they have to pad it out? Not really. Could they? Yeah. It worked for me, goddammit. What else do you want?
There you go. Okay, it worked. That's all that matters. So, the new tag champions, Motor City Machine Guns, and I suppose we can expect to see a bit of a program between them and Beer Money with the return match and a bunch of back and forth leading up to the August pay-per-view. Just a guess.
Don't forget, buy the DVD with both teams on it, now available at TNAWrestling.com. Not convenient at all, is it?
No, not in the least bit.
Mark Anyways. Games, where I belong, among other places.
We'll talk later, Alan. Okay, so the semi-main event tonight, Kurt Angle versus the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and Kurt Angle going into this one, he says, you know, if I lose, I'm done. And he's trying to move up in the heavyweight standings. Currently ranked number 10 going into this match, going up against the Pope, I think was ranked number 7.
I haven't paid attention to the rankings lately.
I believe they were around that bracket, both of them.
Yeah, I can't remember. The Pope's was either number 8 or number 7. Anyway, Kurt Angle wins the match tonight. You gotta say something about when a baby face takes on a baby face and you see sportsmanship in the ring.
I thought it was just an amazing match overall. Forget that they shook hands, that they stole the pay-per-view with this match. Absolutely stole it. And I wish I could get two or three matches out of these guys, but I'm not in charge of the book. I wish I was.
Mace, what do you think? Your opinions?
What else can I really say about this match? You know, I've been saying it all night. Solid, solid matches, and this was no exception. Coming into this one, I did say, watch this one. It's going to be a great match. These guys did not let me down in any way, shape, or form. The only thing is Kurt Angle winning. You know, it was predictable from the outset, but hell, it was entertaining.
Yeah, a little predictable. You kind of figured that Kurt was going to come out victorious, but like you said, entertaining. And both these guys can go in the ring. I mean, there's no argument with that one, Omega.
Oh, yeah, you really can. I mean, I've been high on the Pope for a while now. I mean, I don't know, the character, it took a while, but I've really liked how it's been going. I like how he sells it. And he can go in the ring. I mean, he put on a great match tonight, and you know, I'm with Alan. I hope you know somewhere that I know once Angle's done working his way up through the rankings that we can have, you know, three or four more matches with these guys. I would not say no.
It would be it would definitely be extremely hard to turn something like that down. No doubt about it. And, of course, as we said, Kurt Angle comes up victorious, which brings us to the main event of the night, which could either be an extremely entertaining, extremely well done, extremely good match, or a cluster, if you will. And I don't think we need to finish that word.
Cluster fudge.
Yeah, cluster fudge. Fortunately, it wasn't a cluster fudge, as it were. It was a good, entertaining match. The champion, Rob Van Dam, facing Abyss, facing Jeff Hardy, facing Ken Anderson, and Mace, you actually said something complimentary tonight about Mr. Anderson.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording, because this will be probably one of the only times you will ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir. Now make sure that this archive gets buried, because you will never hear me say that again about Mr. Anderson.
You're kidding, right? Okay, as soon as the archives are ready, both Rock and I are going to spend the week putting together a nice little montage of Mace praising Mr. Anderson. And we're going to turn that into an ad. And we're going to be playing it shows, all the shows right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at least three times a night. At least three, five times on Wednesdays.
Yes, well, Mr. Anderson's antics aside, again, a very solid match from the guys here in TNA. I sort of noticed Abyss being the...
you mean Abyss?
What would you consider... yeah, let's not talk about Taz and his commentary for a minute.
Oh, boy. Abyss,
yeah, for those of you who don't get the joke, during the show, every time Taz was saying Abyss, I thought he was saying a piss. I don't know whether that was just my TV playing up or whether I'm just going crazy. I must be. I've been praising Mr. Anderson. But Abyss was being what would be termed as a bump dummy for this match. He was always the guy taking the big bumps. And for some reason, they were able to balance the entire match out. Usually with matches like three and four-way matches, you have a hard time balancing the airtime that people get in the ring, how many people are in the ring, what are they doing. They seem to balance it out really well. There was always three people in the ring, two people doing their moves, and one down to break up the pinfall, and it seemed to flow really, really well. And usually four-way matches, as we would have seen in the four-way pay-per-view last month by WWE, some of these matches can be a cluster fudge. But this one wasn't. It was nice, balanced, and entertaining. But, again, the very sudden finish really took it away for me. RVD hitting the frog splash out of nowhere, getting the pinfall. I was expecting the guys to go for at least another 10 minutes. So, yeah. What do you think, Will?
As my mic freezes up on me. it's like you said, Mace, comparing it to last month, was it last month? Yeah. WWE's four-way matches where just, this one was just better. It looked better. It was better to watch. There was no run-in to completely ruin the match itself. And, I agree that it seemed short. You've seen the Swanton hit, you've seen Abyss come in, all of a sudden, 5-star, and you're going, what just happened? It left you wanting more, but you can't do much about that.
Yeah. Alan.
I gotta agree with everybody else. It was very out of nowhere, and that's 2 months in a row that their pay-per-view has ended way before the normal 10:50, 10:55 that you would see. I guess they wanted to get to their post-party celebration at Universal. I don't know. I was sitting there watching this going, they've been building this whole Anderson, Hardy, hate, we like each other, we hate each other thing, and I'm just not interested in Rob Van Dam as a world champ anymore. And I guess, is this going to be a situation of he's going to hold the belt to Bound for Glory when either Sting wins it again and retires? Or is this, you know, he's going to hold the belt till Kurt Angle takes out every member of the top 10 till he gets the belt? I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the listeners are thinking or what the rest of this circle of people is thinking, but I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail on Tuesday night, but I'm tired of Rob Van Dam as world champ. Need to change it somehow.
Ooh, Omega, don't bite his head off, but go ahead.
Oh, I have much respect for Alan. I would not bite his head off, you know, after the show in the parking lot with a crowbar.
I know.
How about the fact that I agree with him?
Yeah, that's freaky, Will. That's freaky enough, right?
Wow.
Go ahead, Omega. Continue.
No, I will agree on this part. I'll agree on this part. I'm not sick of RVD as world champion. I don't think he's being played up as a world champion as well as he should be.
Oh, agree.
I think he can be billed and handled a little bit better than he has been, and made to look more of a, you know, a champion, someone who is this difficult to beat and deserves this belt, which he's perfectly able to look like if done right. But, I don't know. I thought, you know, it was a good match. I mean, where I agree with everyone is the ending was really sudden. I mean, through the whole match, you know, I was kind of worried that it was going to fall apart because you've got so many different styles in the ring at once and you never know how that's going to work out. But they did a good job, and then the finish came, and it's just, you know, the 5-star frog splash is a great move. It looks nice, but it's not an atomic bomb, and it should not have knocked out 3 people in one hit.
This was a lockdown where Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan laid out everyone in the ring just by their mere presence.
Yeah. It was a decent setup. You know, for a continuation to the match, and then RVD goes with a pin, and like, what? Wait. That's like definitive setup for, like, you know, leading up to the real finish of the match. That's not where you end it. That's where you go home.
Suspend your disbelief for just a sec now, Omega.
Don't look behind the curtain, man.
So, Rob Van Dam remains the world heavyweight, the heavyweight champion in TNA, and that's pretty much the breakdown of Victory Road tonight. Taking a look at the pay-per-view overall, definitely worth the money. Absolutely. If you haven't seen it, if you've been thinking about seeing it, if you're contemplating about whether or not you want to get the replay, all I can say is it's worth the money. So if you're thinking about it, do it. Alan.
I give it, if you're grading this, I'd give it a B. It was also really weird. I had to step away because my daughter's not feeling so well, so I had to check on her with my wife. But is it my imagination, or was this the first pay-per-view under the Hogan-Bischoff era that neither one was even mentioned as being in attendance or actually didn't come out and get involved? Made for a real good pay-per-view without them being there to come out and be the voice of reason, just let the guys handle it on their own, so to speak.
I see. I understand what you're talking about. So you're thinking that maybe there's just a little bit too much of the higher up sometimes, and it's a good thing that they step back at least for tonight.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it was weird. If you're, because I said every month you've had some form or fashion of either the two of them, or both, or one of them, or you've had a third party. It was different. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying it was good.
I understand what you're talking about. Mace.
I've been saying it all night. It has been a great show. It has been extremely solid wrestling by everybody on the card. This is something that I personally have noticed over the last few weeks, considering I spend a lot more time watching Impact than I do either Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. The wrestling has been getting a lot better on these shows. Tonight just showed it to a paying audience, and I definitely give this one a solid B. The only thing letting it down was a few sudden finishes and some horrible, horrible carpentry in the backstage area.
There you go.
Get a union
okay.
in there, man. It's a union okay. job. Get them in there.
Omega. Okay, so if you decide that you wanted to spend the money again because you decided to not pay attention to have the pay-per-view, I don't know, personal life aside, quit having one. worth the money, worth the replay or not?
Well, I will say this. It is a good sign of a pay-per-view when we have to resort to apparently criticizing the decor. When we have to find that to bash, that's a good sign for the actual entertainment portion of the show. I give it a solid B, probably a B+. You know, like May said, the only thing really keeping it back was a few awkward finishes to some of the matches. But other than that, I was thoroughly entertained by what I saw. I know. I might pick up a replay. I might pick up the DVD when it comes out.
Oh, well, there you go. Will, your final thoughts and impressions?
The matches I saw were really, really solid. I absolutely love watching the Guns and Beer Money in the ring. Pope and Angle tore the house down. Four-way was great. Just on what I saw, that's a B+ right there. And from what everyone's saying about the rest of the pay-per-view, I think Hernandez putting himself through a cage is worth $10 alone.
So overall, a very, very entertaining, highly enjoyable, very worth it Victory Road presented by TNA Wrestling. And don't forget, TNA's next pay-per-view is Hard Justice coming up in August. And we'll see how they are able to capitalize and compete within top, if you will, tonight's Victory Road. So once again, if you're thinking about getting a replay, our personal recommendation right here on Wrest Talk Radio is worth the money. Go ahead, do it. Don't feel that you're going to be disappointed afterwards, because we don't think you will be. That being said, everybody, we're going to take our next quick little time out of the evening. Come back. We're going to preview the pay-per-view from the other guys out of Connecticut, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view preview. We'll take a look at a couple of predictions. Get into our great debate and then some quick hits. You're listening to Wrest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
This is the moment for riders and thugs, strippers and body bags, zippers and violence and drugs, poverty, a bunch of minorities die in the club. They say my music's making them lose it, I ride it in blood. This is my music for all my people missing my music. Keep listening to it, ain't like I said, get a pistol and use it. Satan shot my homie Maintain with a missile and blew it for the industry, cause he was one of the truest. I don't know why they be bumping, it's something maybe in the music. Wanna be bumping, it's punk and it's hella haterific.
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
They talk to me.
Thunder, the professional wrestling-based website on the internet today, brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Dairy. Hannah Smith-Stout.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their request.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
I like to sing with the radio. I like to play it real loud.
Where it's at, green will never let you down, so all you gotta do, get rid of your frown, wear some frickin' green. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. I am your host, Tim Stein. I've got the usual crew with me. The one and only Spud Guy has now joined us, and of course, from the land Dananda, we got Mace Omega down in southeastern excited states of America. In a little town called Florida. And, of course, our resident
Florida's
wet.
A great town.
You live in a town called Florida? Cool.
Shut up, you guys. I said it on purpose. No, making fun of me. I said it on purpose.
No, this is awesome. You know, so easy on the address. Florida.
Okay. Just one question for all you guys interrupting me. Okay. Is this your website? No. Do you pay for it? No. Is this your show? No. Do you produce it? No. Then shutty, I'm talking. We have our resident redneck, Will, with us tonight as well. And I would like to just say, if you guys haven't freaking noticed it yet, take a look at the new look to the website, Wild Talk Radio. If you're catching us on the Ustream website, then come to the Wild Talk Radio, www.wildtalkradio.com. Take a look at the new look, the new layout. Rock worked his little heart out getting this thing up and running. We switched it over last night before CB Radio. And I tell you, he had to stay up until 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, ice packs on his head the whole bit.
And we're very happy he did it. He's awesome.
Anyway, yeah, it looks really good. And for the one, two, or three people who are getting a virus warning when you come to the site, that's not there's no Trojan or virus or spyware or malware on the website. It's an issue with the Ustream player. I think what we're going to do, Rock, is get re-add the embed code. I'll grab that, and we'll do that later. If you get something, some kind of warning that says threat was blocked, just click close on it. There's no threat. It's a false positive. Okay? It ain't real, dudes. Don't worry about it. Don't get freaked out. Okay, so jump right into it. Guys, next week we've got the guys in Connecticut throwing a little Sunday night special show.
Oh,
brand new people.
The other show.
What's that, Omega?
Go
ahead,
Omega. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the other guys, you know, throwing out a brand new pay-per-view called Money in the Bank. Yeah, we're talking about World Wrestling Entertainment with their new idea of gimmick pay-per-views. And I don't know about you, but I personally think that WWE is stealing ideas from a certain group with a gimmick pay-per-view. And going overboard. Instead of having just one gimmick pay-per-view, they've announced at least four, don't you think?
Well, when you do one or maybe two a year, that's not such a big deal. But when you've completely bulked down your year of pay-per-views with these gimmick ones, it's just showing you don't really have much faith in your talent if you think that every pay-per-view needs some gimmick attached to it to draw in buy rates.
I'm going to call this one WWE 3-hour nap, because that's what I'll probably do.
There you go. All right. Well, I don't know if it's going to be any good or not. I think having a Money in the Bank match at a pay-per-view is a great thing. Having an entire pay-per-view called Money in the Bank might be a little bit, I don't know, it might be a little overboard. But why don't we take a really quick look at the card as it is right now. It's SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match with Big Show versus Matt Hardy versus Christian versus Kofi Kingston versus, I'm choking on this, Dashing Cody Rhodes versus Kane versus Drew McIntyre. Yes, visa issues have been sorted out, and he's back. Versus Dolph Ziggler. And why don't we start with you, Alan?
Originally, this was supposed to also have CM Punk in there, but thanks to an arm injury, he's not around. I've talked about this on Online World of Wrestling Radio this past Tuesday. I think this show's overkill completely having two of these matches. It takes away from the lore of even the surprise element, because now you know whoever wins this match, and I'm dying to see the Big Show try to climb a ladder. It was almost like Samoa Joe a few years ago in the Ultimate X. You're sitting there going, Joe's not going to make it across this thing. I want to find a ladder that's going to hold the Big Show. I'd like to see Drew McIntyre take this. Who knows?
Okay, Mace.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with Ellen on this one. You know, I only want to see the Big Show climb a ladder and, you know, who knows, maybe he'll fall off with a big elbow and crush somebody. Maybe a super choke slam off the ladder, who knows. But besides that, I'm pretty much big bunch of meh.
Ah, big bunch of meh, aside from McIntyre. Okay, Spud, you're joining us. All right, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you finally show up.
You know, I was doing something called working.
Yes, I know, and I was being flippant about it. So, you don't have to tell me about work. I'm probably one of the few people who knows what you have to do on a daily basis. So, Your prediction.
Whoever wins, we all lose.
Are you going to leave it at that?
Yes. Whoever wins, we all lose. Because you know what? We'll be forced to watch this dreck. And it has nothing to do with companies. It has to do with the fact that they're all stale.
Okay. Gotcha. So, we'll just leave it at that one. Mace.
I've already said something. I believe that you're wanting to talk to Will now.
And where was Will tonight? It wouldn't happen to have involved the WWE, would it have?
Is that you trying to lead into something?
No, not at all. This isn't my show.
Yeah. Will, where were you tonight?
I was at the WWE SmackDown World Tour tonight.
Really? And how did that show go?
It was a lot weaker than any Raw show they put on, but it was still fun to watch.
Well, as long as it was fun to watch. What's your prediction for the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match?
First, I'm pissed off they didn't have any Christian shirts at the event. Second, I want Christian to win.
Okay. Omega, how do you see this turning out?
Oh, boy. My big worry with Money in the Bank becoming its own pay-per-view, having two, one Money in the Bank per brand, rather. I think Alan mentioned it before. I mean, the element of surprise is out of this because you don't know, whoever wins the SmackDown Money in the Bank is challenging the SmackDown champion at some point. I mean, they're brand specific now, which I don't agree with. But my big concern with this is, taking it away from the mid-carders at WrestleMania, you're going to make a very easy and very tempting match setup for the writers to just give someone a title match without having to set up any storyline for it, which they love to do these days. And that said, I'm probably going to be the one person to say this, but I expect Big Show to win this, if only because he's the only one in the match to actually push at the top level. And it won't be one ladder. He will climb, like, two ladders, Donkey Kong style, one hand on each one.
Can we have the Big Show on top of a ladder throwing down barrels?
That would be awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's the new scaffold
yeah,
match.
Stephanie
just
McMahon
Big Show
up top
of the scaffold throwing barrels.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have to have Kelly standing beside him screaming, "Help me, save me!"
Put Steph up there.
And Santino Marella in the Mario outfit.
If you wanted to move through this fast, boss, it worked.
I was thinking Santino, but he's on Raw, not SmackDown. Anyway, yeah, guys, the last Money in the Bank, we saw somebody win that we never, ever, ever expected was going to win. And that's Jack Swagga. I'm going to go somewhat of a similar route. I want to see Christian win it. I'd like to see Matt Hardy win it, but I think Dolph Ziggler is going to grab that briefcase. Wow. Just remember where you heard it first. And you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen if I'm right.
We're never, ever going to hear the end of it.
No, I've got two clips to play. That's all I'm going to tell you. Not one clip, but two clips. Next match on the card is Unified WWE Tag Team Championship match. We got the Hart Dynasty and Natalya taking on the Usos with, what is her name?
Tamia or Tamina, something like that.
Tamina, that's her name. Is that how you pronounce it? Tamina? There you go. Hart Dynasty versus the Usos. Will, how do you see this one turning out?
I'd like to see the Hart Dynasty retain. Fact is, the Usos, they've shown up, they've beat them up, and now they get a title match. Other than that, we've seen nothing. Though, with WWE's track record, they absolutely love just, oh, look, here's this tag team out of nowhere. Here, now you can be champions.
And there you go. Omega.
No, the Usos are still brand new. I have not been too impressed with them so far, so I don't think there's any way this comes out where the Hart Dynasty doesn't walk away with the championships.
Yeah. Mace?
I'm going to say Natty's a very good girl.
Boy.
I tell you what, if the Hart Dynasty don't steamroll these guys, I'm demanding my money back.
There you go. It's Spug.
Hart Dynasty.
Interesting. Alan.
Well, I thought this was just a regular six-person match. I don't remember them saying belts would be on the line. I think everybody's right. I don't think the MVP brothers look-alike contest winners are ready for it. They really haven't had an actual... Have these guys actually wrestled on Raw? All they've done is come out and just jump the Harts. And if that's the case, I want to walk out and jump somebody and automatically I get a world title shot. The Dynasty's got to keep it at least for a few months. Oh, they're wrestling superstars, right? The show that everybody's not watching. Sorry, WWE.
I was just going to ask you, Alan. Does Maurice still have the title?
No.
Sorry, I had to. She's
a little busy being Teddy's arm candy, man.
There you go.
That's a hard job.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, yeah, so in recent house shows, the Hart Dynasty have been taking on the Usos, and the Hart Dynasty have been beating the Usos. I don't see that changing anytime soon for the pay-per-view, so I'm picking the Hart Dynasty to retain. WWE Women's Championship match. The co-holder of the title, Layla, takes on Kelly Kelly, Alan.
Oh, man, I can't believe you actually just said that, co-holders of the title. All right, Kelly Kelly's beating the Beautiful People knockoffs next.
All right, there you go. Spud.
Kelly Kelly.
Three, two. Okay, Mace.
I'm going to be different. I'm going to go with Lay Cool. However, I'm going to do the outside track and say only because Caval kicks Kelly Kelly's head into the sixth row.
Whoa. Oh, just the sixth row? He's got a good leg.
Yeah, but
he needs to save it for NXT.
You got to remember how much air is in Kelly Kelly's head, so it doesn't have enough mass to go very far.
Yeah, it's like a whistle ball. It doesn't go very far. Omega.
Yeah, I gotta go with Layla on this one. Kelly's had absolutely nothing going for her lately.
Okay, Will.
I already seen this match tonight. It sucked.
Who won?
Here's your pay-per-view preview right there. You already saw it at the house.
Oh, you know what it was? Look, I actually saw my little brother Shane there tonight. And I was like, all right, during the Divas match, I'll go get you something for your birthday. I'll go get him a shirt for his birthday. I went up there as the Divas match started. I came down from the novelty stand about 5 minutes later, and they were just starting the match because whatever, God knows how long I was up there, was them playing around with a giant blue exercise ball. Fuck this match.
However, I will say this about Will's prediction. Don't be surprised if it plays out the same way as it does on a house show. A lot of these guys, especially before a big pay-per-view, will put on almost the exact same match. Down here at one point, we had AJ Styles going up against Christopher Daniels in an Iron Man match or something like that. And they went the full 60 minutes. They did the exact same match two nights later on pay-per-view.
And I saw that setup, too, on the road to WrestleMania 19 in Seattle. I saw Rey Mysterio, Matt Hardy at a house show here in Tampa, and literally it was move for move. I turned to one of my friends and going, hey, didn't we just see that at US of Sundome? Wow.
Well, that is classic house.
Literally move for move.
Yeah, that is clear. That's like classic house show behavior. I mean, that's rehearsal for the big match. And there's a lot of matches that get either put on hold or canceled altogether because the house show matches end up terrible.
Well, in that case, spoiler warning, Layla wins.
Okay, potential spoiler. Well, I'm still going to say Kelly Kelly wins.
all of us win because we get to look at the two of them actually out there, but hey.
Alrighty then. Moving on. There we go. The Raw Money in the Bank ladder match. Ted DiBiase versus Chris Jericho versus Edge versus The Miz versus Evan Bourne versus John Morrison versus Randy Orton versus who? Somebody yet to be named. Alan.
I still had a big problem with Ron the Truth Killens being taken out of this match since he told the company, hey, I'm ready to go. If I had to pick someone out of this, and you're putting the gun to me and saying you got to pick somebody, I'd love to see Ted DiBiase Jr. take this, because I've already seen Randy Orton as champ and Edge as champ and Chris Jericho as champ. And if you believe what you're hearing, Jericho's on the out the door anyway to a career in Hollywood. So go Team Teddy.
There you go. Okay.
Maryse wants gold, man. She wants real gold, and let's get it.
There you go. Spug.
Randy Orton.
Really? Any,
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Just Randy Orton. Okay, Mace.
Randy Orton.
I'm going to go, same with Tony O in the chat room, the mystery guy is going to be Wade Barrett. The NXT guys are going to come down and wail on everybody in the match, and Wade's going to just climb up the ladder casually and grab the briefcase.
But why would he do that? He's already got a guaranteed title shot, doesn't he? Or did the GM take that away again?
They storyline stripped that.
Not him as GM again on the iPod, iPad, whatever.
And that's the bottom line, because the anonymous GM said so. I had to do that. A little bit too obvious. They're trying to make everybody think it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, don't you?
Yeah,
this week it'll be The Rock.
Yeah. I'm sure after thanks that'll be Hogan or...
And then Triple H.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Thanks for stealing.
She's doing nothing.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks for stealing the Rock idea from me, Alan.
Yeah, I'd like to see Palin. I could see Vladimir Kozlov's match from my house.
Wait, from you, Tim? I said that on Monday when they were doing it with Austin.
And it's gonna be the Shockmaster, goddammit.
Hey, Fred Ottman lives here in Florida. He's not doing anything. Bring him on.
I said it before you said it, but I like what Rock says. It's gonna wind up being Eugene.
Hey, Nick Dinsmore wrestled in the Super 8 this weekend. I don't know how he did, but he was there.
That would be there that would, well. He didn't win.
Austin Creed won it.
Oh, far out for him.
There you go. All right. So, who hasn't made the prediction yet? Omega.
This is probably where it's going to come out that your first top tier guy is going to win a Money in the Bank match. It's going to be Orton, though. I do like Wade Barrett stepping into that last slot, though. I'm pretty sure. With that many WWE guys in the ring and all of them after the world title shot, they're gonna get knocked out of, you know, and Nexus is gonna get knocked out of the match if that happens.
Okay, Will.
I honestly forgot half of who is in the match.
Well, let me refresh you then. Ted DiBiase, Chris Jericho, Edge, The Miz, Evan Bourne, John Morrison, Randy Orton, and one more as yet to be determined.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I want to see The Miz win.
Really?
Wow.
All right, well, the way I see it, if this final entry does turn out to be Barrett because he was storylined out of his title shot, it's a great way for him to get it back. So if it winds up Barrett, then I gotta really seriously consider him. Otherwise, I'll pick John Morrison. Yeah, that's all I gotta say about that. Next match is the World Heavyweight Championship match. Rey Mysterio takes on Jack Swagger. Will.
I'd rather see Swagger than let a Mysterio farce go on more longer than it has to be.
Have you noticed, guys, that since Ray has won the title, they don't call it the World Heavyweight Championship again, just like last time he had it?
Yep, I heard that tonight.
Yeah, it's the world. He's the world champ, not the World Heavyweight Champ.
Oh, yeah, and if they if they keep playing up this knee, this injury angle, whatever he's got on his leg, I've not really been watching SmackDown lately. But, oh boy, a Rey Mysterio match where not only where half the match he's getting beaten down and he's injured, oh, that's going to be a five-star match right there.
Mother. Hey, there you go. Omega!
I've got to pick Mysterio on this one, if only because WWE is already regretting making Swagger the world champion. And I seriously doubt they're going to put it back on him for a long, long time.
Interesting. Mace.
Didn't I already comment about this match?
I don't think so.
Okay, my brain's just decided to go on me. It fizzle farted. What are we talking about again?
We're talking about Rey Mysterio versus Jack Swagger.
Give it to Jack Swagger.
Swagger. All right. Coward. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why the heck this belt was even put on Rey Mysterio. Mr. I got a vacation right after I won the belt. Put it back on Swagger where it should never have left. This hot shot and belts and passing them around to takes away from the credibility of the belt. So please, for the love of humanity, put it back on Swagger. And it has nothing to do with it. It's Swagger. Just put it on anybody but this guy. Let him go on his vacations. Let him go get healed up again. Or just let him go somewhere. But keep selling those Ray masks, guys. Gotta sell for Linda McMahon's campaign. Just don't buy Iranian.
There you go. Spud.
Go Swagger. Don't care.
Any no particular reason, just Swagger. Okay.
Because Rey Mysterio is a horrible champion. The belt shouldn't be on Rey Mysterio.
Not the heavyweight title. The world.
Not
title.
Any title.
Okay. You're not a big Rey Mysterio fan, are you?
Which one of us?
I'm just guessing.
I think they both have something against the Lollipop Guild.
Oh. You've been dying to spring that one, haven't you, woman?
She's had it saved for almost 3, 4, 5 hours.
They're gonna laugh so hard at this.
Well, you know, you gotta understand, you know, ever since we basically put the moratorium on the Lita jokes, he's been reaching.
I haven't had time to write lately.
Well, no, it's safe for you to reach now. Anyway, I gotta say, yeah, Jack Swagger, Ray needs to bugger off away from the title scene. He needs to bugger off away from wrestling for a little while. Get his knee fixed. You know, take a break. Go to the Grand Canyon with his family. I don't know. Either that or go visit a chocolate factory, Omega.
It doesn't work. He's not orange.
He could be if he lays in a tanning bed long enough.
Yeah, if he borrows some of what's-his-name spray-on tan.
All right. Evan Bourne's got some good spray-on tan.
Yeah, there you go. He could wind up being a little bit orange. You never know. All right. Anyway. And the final announced match to this point, WWE Championship Steel Cage Match, Sheamus. Shape of Marshmallow Man versus John Cena, Superman. Will.
Nope, shit, sorry. Truth be told, I'm going to say Sheamus, but really at this point it's not because I hate John Cena. I've become completely apathetic towards him. But no matter the outcome, I want to see Nexus beat the hell out of Sheamus just so they, you know, so show some sort of, hey, we don't give a shit about any of y'all.
I see. I guess it's up to me now, hey? It's a cage match. Sheamus versus Cena. Sheamus is holding. Title. And he's got the kick of doom. John Cena.
You running calculations?
I'm actually talking out while I type in the computer simulation. Yeah.
He's doing quantum physics again, man. Darn it.
It's not quantum physics. It's like SmackDown versus Raw 2010. He's just pumping in stats.
As we see, it's cage match, Johnson. Shane, it's the real winner in this will be the steel cage. I gotta say, okay, Sheamus keeps the title. All of that just for me saying Sheamus. And that's our quick WWE Money in the Bank preview.
King Host gets to say it. We don't get to say what we're all really feeling about this. This is Sheamus keeping the belt because the immortal Triple H is coming back to SummerSlam. If
Dude,
his shoulder neck surgery. But it's what it is. They're building this up so Triple H can come back and slay the kingdom once again.
Alan, do not shoot on Triple H. You are insulting.
But that's the thing. I'm a fan of Triple H's, but I just don't want him to be rushed back from what apparently was a bad enough neck injury that he got it worked on. I don't want the guy coming back.
I got news for
Triple H. I want him back full.
No.
Yeah, I got news for you. Yeah, the surgery's been put on hold. It doesn't look like Triple H is going to be back by SummerSlam. Mace.
It's not that the surgery got put on hold. He injured himself in a completely different way while he was off.
Well, that's why, kids, you should never try strangulation or hanging yourself when you masturbate, because you can wind up a different injury.
Yes, don't be like David Carradine.
Yes, I was afraid you would go there. Anyway,
I have
Mace,
no shame.
Yes, I know. Anyway, Mace, what do you think of this matchup?
Well, as Tim put into the computer, it's a cage match. It's John Cena versus Sheamus. And I don't know how any of you could be even considering Sheamus in this type of environment. This has got Superman written all over it. It's going to be Superman to close out the pay-per-view because he's got to have his big stare down with Wade Barrett at the end of the show before getting his ass handed to him by Nexus.
I'll only accept a Cena win if he throws himself through the cage a la Hernandez.
And that's even if he survives tomorrow night's 7-on-1 match that was made by our Anonymous GM.
If Cena wins this match, it's going to be because he has punched his way through the mat and thus touched the floor by sheer strength alone. That's how Superman wins a match. You're not going to see John Cena win, if only because they're going to keep this feud with the Nexus and Wade Barrett up for a little bit longer. And by storyline right now, they are ineligible from title shots. So you can't have Cena holding the belt if he's going to be feuding with Barrett.
They're also ineligible from going other shows, which stinks.
So you've got to have the title on Sheamus. So I'm predicting him to win.
Interesting. So has everybody gotten their predictions in?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, if we had intro music for it, we'd play it, but we don't, so we won't. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Tony O's favorite part of the show. It's the great debate. Tonight, we're looking for WCW's greatest all-time heavyweight champion. And the matchups tonight, Sting takes on Bret the Hitman Hart. Booker T takes on Diamond Dallas Page. And we're going to start with Will. And Will, we're going to start with Sting versus Bret Hart.
Sting, easily.
Sting, easily. Are you going to back it up or just say, yeah, Sting's, because I said so, man?
Because
I'm
Bret Hart.
Rich.
Bret Hart, when he got to WCW, was so badly mishandled. And truth be told, the only memorable thing I remember from any of his title runs is one, the formation of the NWO, and two, getting his head kicked off by Bill Goldberg.
That's all you remember. Okay, fine.
Those are the first two things that come to mind when I think of Bret Hart and WCW World Title.
Well, there are three things that should come to mind. Those two that you pointed out, and Bret Hart wearing the cast iron stove plate when Goldberg speared him.
Actually, that is number three. That was genius.
Do you know where Bret Hart got that from? Or at least the guys who wrote that line, that bit for him, you know where they got that from?
Back to the Future 3?
No, for crying out loud. I was
Lonesome
afraid.
Dove.
Yeah, no, not Lonesome Dove. It was a Clint Eastwood movie, Pale Rider. That's where they got it for Back to the Future 3.
Oh, well.
I was just waiting for somebody to say Back to the Future 3. No, it was originally, I think it was Pale Rider. It was either Pale Rider or the Man with No Name.
I thought it was Something a Good, like Bad, that. And the Ugly, but...
Oh, that could have been it, too. You never know. But it was Clint Eastwood.
I wasn't writing for
WCW. It was Clint Eastwood.
I'm
certain of it.
Sorry.
It was a fucking movie starring Clint freaking Eastwood, and Clint Eastwood had the goddamn plate on there, and I'm swearing again because you're frustrating me, you frustrators.
It was Clint Eastwood. I'm sure of it. Oh, no, it was John Wayne.
Excellent.
You know, all of these women listening into my sexy voice tonight just because I told them to, and you're making me swear. Anyway. So, Sting goes up 1-0, Omega.
This is a no-brainer. It's got to be Sting. He is the icon of the company for a reason. I mean, I do fondly remember Sting's title defense. And his reign as champion. Bret just honestly, it just seemed like a thing to do. Because even the writers in WCW admitted, we've got Bret Hart, but we don't know what to do with the guy. They pretty much just stuck up the world championship on him because, well, only one of the NWO back, and he was a name, And that's pretty much all there was to him.
There you go. All right, Mace.
I'm just looking over it now. Bret Hart, 2 championship reigns. The total is 56 days as champion. Who did he win the belt off? Both times, well, the belt was vacated before he got it. The first one being Sting getting stripped of the belt, and then the second time after his match with Bill Goldberg, and then somehow getting the title back in the same night. But hey, it was 1999 when the company was absolutely falling flat on its butt. Sting, on the other hand, a lot longer as champion, a lot more title reigns, and actually beat Hogan not once but twice for the title, as well as guys like, Ric Flair and Big Van Vader back in the day. So I'm going to side with Sting on this one.
Okay, Sting. There you go. Alan.
It's Sting. It's the franchise. No one on this roster except for Nature Boy, Ric Flair, is possibly going to beat him. And I'm being honest here. I can't see it. I love Bret Hart, but as everybody else just said, he was the most mismanaged person in the history of WCW. Horribly booked. Kevin Sullivan on his Kayfabe Commentaries DVD said it. Russo and Ferrara said it when they booked they did a thing with Wade Keller a while back. How do you botch the greatest screw job in wrestling history coming from one promotion to the other? And that's what she did. Sting's the man. Even at 50 some odd years old, it's amazing Sting can still go. I just wish him better storylines in TNA wrestling. So yeah, make it a clean sweep for the Stinger. Do it for the little Stingers out there.
Okay, so there are little Stingers out there, right? Okay,
they were. Yeah, they're probably big Stingers now.
Yeah, duck, duck, goose. We got a caller, Tony O. What do you think?
I gotta go with Alan Wee Willie Walkie and everybody else. I gotta pick Sting. I mean, for what these guys said, he was he's the icon. And Bret Hart, you look at it, if Bret Hart wouldn't have had what happened to him, he would have never been in these CW, in ECW, WCW. So I think that taints his title a little bit. I gotta go with Sting.
Well, there you go. Yeah, this is gonna probably blow everybody's mind who thinks that I'm a Bret Hart groupie, flunky love nest guy, whatever. But yeah, it's Sting. How do you screw up the follow up to one of the controversial stories in professional wrestling? Just like you said, Alan, they could have done so much with Bret. They didn't. And they made him pretty much, you know, we could have done the great debate. The Biggest also ran in TNA, and Bret would be in the running for that just because of the way they misused him. So, Sting it is. Unanimous. Sting moves on. All right, guys. Second matchup. Booker T takes on Diamond Dallas Page. And we're going to start with our caller, Tony O.
I'm going to go with DDP on this one. I really don't have much reason. I honestly don't really remember the two title reigns of Booker T and DDP. I do know that Booker T's was later when WCW was in the dying days, and I think DDP's was somewhat when WCW before they were folding. I'm going to have to go with Booker T based on that. Or no, not Booker T, DDP. My bad. I really do not remember both of these at all. I don't.
Okay. 1-0 for DDP. Alan, won't you tell me?
Didn't DDP win it off of the greatest WCW champion of all time and David Arquette in a stupid cage match with Jeff Jarrett?
No, DDP's the one who lost it to David Arquette.
Yeah, but didn't he win it? No, Jarrett won it back in that match.
Jarrett won the triple cage, and DDP lost it.
That tells you the value of the world title at that time. You could have put it on two drunken midgets, corpse, and Marcus Bagwell's mother, and nobody would have cared. I'll go with Booker T here. Sorry, they both sucked as WCW champs, but I got to pick the younger guys, so go with Booker.
All right, there you go. 1-1, Mace. Tiebreaker time.
Yes, well, this one I'm only going to go for what I remember. Yes, Dumb Dallas Page was the guy who lost the belt to David Arquette of all bloody people on this universe. However, more memorably to me personally as the insane WCW fan that I am with my collection of like 4 years worth of pay-per-views sitting there, the two moments that stand out most in my mind, Bash at the Beach 2000, which was the Vince Russo shoot interview.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot in the middle of the show. And also Booker T being the final man to hold the belt in WCW before the WWE purchase. So I'm going to go with Booker T on this one, only because I actually remember more moments of him being world champion than DDP.
Ooh, there you go, Booker T, DDP, Omega.
This is a little hard for me. I was originally going to go DDP because as a wrestler and as a personality in WCW, I liked him a lot better than I did Booker T. But looking up his title history, and yeah, it's dismal, unfortunately. He had 3 reigns, but all of them came from either not beating the champion or under dubious circumstances that really didn't play to his character very well. And yeah, he's the one who lost it to Arquette on Thunder, the B show. Hello.
In a tag match, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
A tag match involving Bischoff and Jeff Jarrett.
This was not a proud title reign. Not that Booker T's had him any better. I mean, when his third title reign began by beating Jeff Jarrett in the San Francisco 49er box match, the dumbest gimmick match ever.
I didn't want to go there, but he did. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, but you know what? Booker T, I do remember more of his reign. He was an entertaining champion. He really was the last top face WCW produced, and that's really why he is still, or at least until
both
promotion that says we don't want him anymore. Still a big draw. So I'll give credit to Booker T for that, and I will give him my vote.
Booker T, Booker T, Booker T. Look at that. Booker T is out in the lead. Will.
Well, at first I was thinking this was going to be hard, because I remember both men, I was big fans of them when WCW was still around. Then, of course, I remembered instantly that DDP was the one who lost the championship to David Arquette. He didn't even get beat by Arquette. Arquette beat Bischoff. Wonderful. Not only that, all of DDP's title reigns were very short. I think his first one, going off memory, I can't remember his first one, but his second one was less than a month, wasn't it? He lost it to Nash at Slamboree. And then, of course, the third one, he lost it to Arquette. And Booker T, on the other hand, like Mace already said, was he was the last WCW champion. But, of course, we got great matches, such as the one Omega just remembered, and the, what was it? They were on Nitro or Thunder, and some dumbass in booking thought it would be a great idea to make them have a dark match for the main event. They actually turned off the lights, realized no one could see anything, and had to turn the lights back on.
Once again, the great booking styles of WCW, ladies and gentlemen. Soon to be available.
A match that involved a bull rope and a figure four involving said bull rope. But
how the fuck are Russos? Is Russo still employed?
One of the big things I do remember from Booker T's championship reigns was when he first became champion. He said every Monday night he was going to defend the championship against somebody on Nitro. And we got to see, you know, Booker T really go out there, and they weren't the greatest matches, but he was known as a fighting champion because he got out there and he did it. Every Monday night he would put up the championship. In fact, there was one night he wrestled, I think it was, well, he wrestled two people in the night, but at the end of the night he faced Goldberg, and I think he won. I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to go with Booker T over DDP.
Well, I have to give it to Booker T as well, mainly because I'm sorry. It just really kind of took away from DDP having David Arquette involved in that whole bloody thing. Seriously. So, Booker T moves on, and that, everybody, is round two of the great debate. Don't forget, we're continuing this until we find the greatest WCW champion of all time. Next week's matchup coming up at the end of Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, flying right through the quick hits, we're going to start off the questions with Omega. Omega, your first question tonight, what's the most memorable WWE championship victory?
The most memorable WWE championship victory? Cliched as it is, I still have to go with the first win for Shawn Michaels. Just for what a huge moment that was, what a huge match that we just got finished with. That just always stood out very strongly to me, which may or may not be because WWE runs the replay of that moment about 80, 90 times per year.
Okay, there you go. Now, our next person, let me just, oh, geez, how that, what happened here? Oops. Just give me a quick sec, guys. Something just went goofy with my Here we go. Oh, I hate modern technology some days. You know what I'm saying? Going to Mace. Mace, your question. If you could switch one person from the WWE roster and switch them with someone from the TNA roster, who would they be and why?
Okay, so one-to-one swap. I would take CM Punk off the WWE roster and give the WWE... Kazarian. Reasons being, I think that Kazarian could probably make this would be probably his eighth go in the WWE. I still reckon he could thrive more there than he will on TNA. And with CM Punk, I just want to get him out of that crap and give him a bit more of an open area for him to work more closely to what his ROH gimmick and style was. As good as the SES is at the moment, we all know that Punk did it so much better in Ring of Honor.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely true. Okay, so let's take a look here. And Alan, I got a question for you.
Oh, God.
What is, for you, the most memorable TNA NWA Championship victory?
The Slammiversary that Raven won it. I think it was Slammiversary 2005. It was the most unexpected win out of everything. I could probably have gone all the way back to Ken Shamrock winning it, but I gotta go with the one that I was in the building for.
Yeah.
Would be that one. I think Ron Killings.
I now hate you, Alan.
Well, also Ron Killings beating Shamrock back in 2002 was a big shock. I think it was August 7th or something like that. But okay, in the house building, I like that one. And of course, I could have also gone with the night that Triple J stole the belt and the bottles rained down on the ring and we all went, what the hell's going on? But I went with Raven, who looks real great sitting in the crowd. I'm sure Scotty's having fun sitting, doing nothing and getting paid to do it.
Interesting.
Just like WCW.
Hey.
Okay. There you go. Now here come the questions that I like asking, the fun ones. We'll go back up to the top of the list with Omega again. Omega, which one of the Brady girls would you hook up with, Marsha, Jan, or Cindy?
What? No, Alice.
She's not a Brady girl. She was the maid.
Well, number one, you skipped Will. And number two, probably Marsha. I have to admit, I was never big on the Brady Bunch, but you know what? She can take a football to the face. that counts in my book.
Yeah, Marsha. Anyway, Will, what's your favorite Brady Bunch character?
I hate you.
That was not a Brady Bunch character. Who's your favorite Brady Bunch character?
I don't know. Fuck. Marsha?
Marsha. Okay, we'll take Marsha. Mace, since WWE likes to give its new superstars new names, give me, yours truly, the host, Tim Stein, his very own WWE name.
You'd be the Canadian Kid Chris Komanowski.
Canadian Kid Chris Komanowski?
Yeah, why not? Sounds ridiculous. Plays on the Canadian heritage. There you go. It sounds like a WWE thing.
But I don't look Polish. Anyway, Alan, we all know you are a big NXT follower, and right now, Alan, you've got 30 seconds to cut a promo on, and this is your choice. You've got to cut a promo on...
Tim, that's actually, your choice.
Actually,
to pick one of the three.
Tim Stein.
Read the question correctly.
Shut up, all right? Okay, you've got to cut a promo on something here. Pirate ships.
What? And Tim Stein, because Tim's obviously being a pussy and not doing the question correctly.
Shut up, Mace. Yeah, being that you're an NXT follower, cut a promo on pirate ships.
What the heck is the correct question? Because obviously he's messing with me.
No, that's the correct question. You didn't watch NXT? They cut promos on weird things. Your turn, pirate ships. Go.
Can I do the low-key thing and just say no?
No, you can't. That Mason's gimmick, and he gets yelled at for it. So.
I can't be Husky Harris and just walk away, or Michael Tarver and walk away, or any of them to walk away.
We'll give you a better option. You want teapots?
I want every WWE writer to walk off of one, because none of you have a freaking clue what you're doing here. You're burying Caval like you buried Bryan Danielson. Just let Wyndham Rotunda be Wyndham Rotunda. Let Michael McGillicuddy be freaking Henning's kid. All of you take a big walk off the pirate ship before I find a cannon from the Cutthroat Island boat and blow you all to smithereens.
And there you go. Okay, Will, we're going to end the quick hits night with you, man. What's your favorite, and everybody else in the chat room will notice this is our opinion poll question, too. What is your favorite TNA gimmick match?
I'm going to say Ultimate X, but it has to actually be done right. Though I will admit that the King of the Mountain match was growing on me.
Okay. So, Ultimate X, meaning that you agree with three people who have voted so far in that poll. If you haven't voted in the poll, everybody listening, vote now, vote often as it'll let you, which is once. You'll find it right to the left, lower left of the chat box on that page, or on the homepage as well. And so, give us your opinion. What's your favorite TNA gimmick match? And there
that
it is.
Great direction. That was great directions there, Tim. Right to the left.
Yeah, you'll find it right to the left. That is correct. You'll find it correct. Yeah, you'll find it just to the lower left of the chat box window. Wise ass.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, no, I deserved it, so what the hell. Anyway, that's it. There's the quick hits, and that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in, and we hope that you keep tuning in, and we're going to do this again next Sunday night after the WWE pay-per-view. The Money in the Bank ladder match pay-per-view. Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
3 hours, snooze fest.
You know, that thing that we got going on, eh?
Then let's get out of here, eh?
Okay. So don't forget, tomorrow night, Monday night, WWE presents Raw. I don't care where it's coming from, but live chat during Raw will be presented right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So, guys, your gals, everybody, you're watching Raw? Let's come and chat about it as we're watching it together. Just show up into the chat room right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tuesday night, Online World of Wrestling presents OWW Radio with your host, Alan, won't you listen in to me? Did I get that right?
That was fail.
Wow.
They just
so, Alan, what's on OWW Radio this Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern?
I have a couple guests that are on the ropes of being available, so I'm not going to say who they are. I do have one definitive guest after everybody in the free world being on last week. WXCW promoter Rachel Collins will be on. It is a Midwest-based women's promotion that's running a show this coming weekend. Tasha Simone is their heavyweight champion. I guess you can call it a heavyweight champion. They have listed that way on their poster. And let's say it should be an interesting night. It's going to be a British invasion theme tonight.
Ooh, British Invasion.
So that does that mean we get a lot of 60s Beatles music and stuff like that, hey?
All kinds of British folks everywhere, from the Beatles and the Stones to Depeche Mode, LaRue. Who knows who'll be on there? I'm still working on the music catalog.
Well, that's just kind of awesome. Don't forget, everybody, next Sunday night we have the continuation of the great debate. Chris Benoit will be taking on Ric Flair. Yes, believe it or not, we're not ignoring Chris Benoit. Yeah,
yes,
exactly. Chris Benoit.
I've heard that name before. Doesn't he play basketball in the NBA? That's David Benoit, sorry.
Yeah, Chris Benoit versus Ric Flair. And our other matchup, Randy Savage versus Lex Luger. Ooh, yeah, tune in for that. Yeah, Wednesday night, Geek Speak at its best or worst, depending on how you feel, with Mace, Omega, and whenever the hell Spug shows up. Omega, what you got going on this week?
Pretty much the same as usual. You know, whatever random headline comes up this week, we are probably going to discuss, rip apart, and go horribly off track.
So,
but it's
random
fun doing it.
So nothing.
Random geekiness this Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. Thursday night, if she's not working, which is unfortunate to announce, she is working, so there will be no Anything Goes. Sex Talk the following week with the sinful queen of the WTR, Miss Cindy Sin. Friday night, Friday afternoon, if you will, Run on the Ropes with Maverick, bringing his sidekick, the other Aussie, Nick. And, of course, midnight-ish Saturday, CB Radio. Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Make sure you tune in for that, all times Eastern. Check out the new site. Vote in the poll. Everybody, we're out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday for another episode of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.